buying pot. Don't drink. It's my only lifestyle advice. Just don't drink. Not if you want to hold power. The Master. Angela and Caro were having a fight. They were having it in mutters and hisses because they were having it while they were clearing the small back garden of the Barker house for a bonfire, and there were neighbours a few yards away also gardening. But the low volume didn't make it any less savage. Caro, bent low over a bedraggled azalea which she was murdering, was literally shaking with anger.
How could you?
That was just cruel. When did you become so judgmental? A year ago, Angela might have made some appreciative remark about Caro's bottom tightly encased in filthy jeans. But that was a lifetime ago. Now she lifted her head, tasting alcohol in her mouth, and snapped back.
Judgment's the job, you grand bloody minister! Hadn't you noticed?
Caro stood and turned to look at her with an expression of undisguised dislike.
Don't take that tone with me!
Angela, clutching a large, cracked flower pot, straightened, ignoring her.
And, since around here at least the Lord has delegated his work to me, I rather think a bit of plain speaking is the least you should expect. Quint's a revolting man. I've looked some of his stuff up, and it's nothing more than toadying drivel. I just gave him a bit of plain speaking. What? Don't look away from me. It's what he needed. So he writes that.
She pointed to a scrunched newspaper lying on top of the silage bin.
So what? It's what he does. How you ever got mixed up with him, I'll never understand. You used to be better than that. You pious little prig! That's only a dog collar, you know. This is only Barker. You're not Mother Bloody Teresa. Yes, Peter Quint has helped me in the past. He was going to help me in the future. But now you've blown it for me. I've got an enemy for life in one of the most important papers in the country. Thanks, sweetheart.
Angela had never heard the words spoken like that. She flamed.
You know what I used to like about you? It seems funny now, but from the first day we met at school, I always thought you had a soul. Other people fell in love with your beautiful face and your charming smile and all those nonsense things that were just given to you, which, by the way, aren't really you, and they'll go away one day. They will. Oh, yes, they will. But I saw more. You were rooted. Your feet were firmly on the ground, and you understood that we're put here to make this stinking world a slightly better place. Sometimes I believe in paradise, and sometimes I don't. But I always thought we could make a little paradise on earth if we put our backs into it. And I thought you did too.
The argument was at a fork. It could fall back, or it could worsen. Caro hedged.
So why do you think... We should knock that fence down, by the way, the whole thing. Why do you think I went into politics in the first place?
Angela no longer cared.
Because it's all about you. That's what's changed. It's always about you. You barely have a moment for the boys these days, and by the way, they've noticed. As for me, I'm just an embarrassment. Oh, yes. I told your precious soon-to-be ex-leader, Alwyn Grimaldi, what I thought that day at Chequers. I just said stuff I say all the time, and you squirmed and tried to act as if you'd only bumped into me the day before. Next thing it'll be some man. Now you're picking a fight with me, about Peter Quint, who's less...
Angela brought her gumboot down on a large snail that had been struggling its way across a paving stone, crunching it into shards and goo.
Then that!
Angela was red-faced. A year ago, Caro might have found that attractive. Now she said,
You're drunk. In the middle of the afternoon. Just after you've taken a service. You're disgusting.
As Caro stomped down the side of the house towards her car, slamming the side gate behind her, Angela hurled the flower pot after her. Missing by some distance, it shattered against the back wall of the house. She howled a word which scholars, working hard, have so far failed to discover in either testament. In the next-door garden, Mr. Grant raised his eyebrows at Mrs. Grant, who was trimming the edge of the lawn.
Just like normal married people.
As she drove back to London, Caro reflected that perhaps Angela's disgraceful behaviour wasn't quite such a disaster after all. If ever she decided to separate herself from her mouthy and increasingly priggish and erratic partner, there was at least one person who could be relied upon to be supportive. Peter Quint would be delighted. Building a Better World.
Serious